May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 320. God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Hymn number 320.
Thank you. Let us read from Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated, that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned, or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight, that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. May the Lord bless his own word. May he grant prayer. O Lord, do thou solemnize our minds at this morning hour, as through thy mercy we are found in thine earthly courts at the time of worship. O grant unto us reverence, godly fear, in broken hearts, contrite spirit, O weeping over our sins and mourning after thee. Grant unto us faith, a living, lively faith, centered in the Lamb once slain at Calvary. May all forbidden toils be relinquished, laid aside. Oh, may we be found amongst those who, humbly venturing, even with the boldness of faith, brought nigh by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, find access, nearness unto thee. Thou hast proclaimed from above the mercy seat, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. There will I commune with thee. Lord, we pray for those communications from heaven. We pray to receive thy word, as thou mayest be pleased to cause it e'en to distill as the dew upon our souls. We pray to be upon the stretch, reaching out for those blessings of the gospel. We seek that all wandering thoughts might be removed, and for a season banished from our minds, and we might be found receiving, even from those upper spring blessings. We would enter thy courts with that right spirit, a humbleness of mind, a gracious posture, bowing before thee. We would not be negligent in offering praise amidst all the distresses, the burdens of the path, many things that would at times, do we feel at times, nigh overwhelm us. Yet, Lord, thy mercy continues. Thou dost remember us in our lowest state, for thy mercy endureth forever. And we ask, Lord, that we might not only rightly prize those tokens of thy grace, that in receiving we may indeed give thanks and take courage. For not one of us knoweth what the future may unfold. What thou hast purposed shall be that path through which we are caused to walk. We pray, for that needed grace to trust in thee. When we cannot trace thee, still, Lord, to be enabled to believe that our times and every particular of those times is in thy gracious hands. So, Lord, we beseech thee, guide us by thy counsel and afterward receive to glory. We ask thy blessing upon this church and congregation. Thankful to see a goodly number gathered around thy word. May they hear the word to profit. Hearts be open to receive the truth as it is in Jesus. May there be that losing sight of one another. We would not see man, puny man, frail, sinful creatures. We would be enabled to behold the Lamb. And thou didst say, Lord Jesus, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Lord, we pray that thou mayest be lifted up this day upon that gospel pole, that sinners might look and live. We ask, Lord, that cases may be met, that cares and concerns might receive those tokens thyself that thou art with Israel passing through the fire, that those rivers shall not overflow thee. We pray, Lord, oh, that the afflicted might indeed be blessed with that healing touch. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, body, mind, circumstance, and soul. O thou who art that great physician, that loving physician, full of tender mercy, of great pity, Lord, remember those who are afflicted in any way. We beseech thee, and may these things be richly sanctified. May they prove the lines of the hymn song. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Remember those, Lord, who are subject to disappointments. We pray for young friends walking in this path. Oh, would especially ask, Lord, they may be helped in this time of anxiety, this time. Oh, Lord, it may be of questioning. Thou knowest. Oh, may their minds and hearts be stayed on thee. May they receive that gracious help, that support, the right hand of thy righteousness. Even in the bitter things, they may have cause yet to realize the Lord hath been mindful of them. Others, Lord, thou knowest them all together. Matters unknown to us, but thou knowest. We pray, O gracious God, those secret things may e'en receive of thine attention. Thou understandest all disorders, body, mind, and soul. O grant, Lord, we pray consolation. Grant comfort. The prophet of old questioned as to what he should cry. O Lord, he was directed as to how to speak, even to bring comfort unto that troubled people. We ask, Lord, that our measure, oh, in this little company today, the word of thy grace may be such that it rests with them to encourage them, to support them, and to remain with them in life's pathway. And to be a support as they come down to those swellings of Jordan. For come, there we must, in thine appointed time, if thou dost tarry. Oh, prepare us each, young and old. The old must die, the young may. Oh, prepare us, Lord, for the change when it shall come. May we be found as such with the oil in our lamp, the grace in our heart. Did they not slumber and sleep as others? Lord, we have to confess. We would confess. Oh, Lord, may those confessions be sincere. we have found so. Even those disciples, Lord, they slumbered, they slept amidst the depth of thy sorrows. Lord, how it should be, we marvel at times, and yet, oh, our nature fails. Yet, Lord, oh, we would that thou wouldst put in thine hand by the hole of the door, that the sweet fragrance of thy grace and love may cause us to rise up and go out even this day. And may there be that finding of our beloved. Oh, grant, Lord, thy blessing thus upon this church and congregation, upon those that hold office, and may their hands be upheld by prayer and supplication. May their needs be met in the supply of the ministry. May thine hand be seen going before them continually in the way. May there be those converts, those turned around, young friends, Lord, who are caused even to stop and consider. And Lydia's whose heart may be opened. A Samuel who shall hear thy voice. O Lord, thou art the same in thy power as in those days of old, and we would. Oh, that the evidences of these things may continually be seen amongst the congregations of thy people. So bless thy word, and may it have free course and be glorified. And may, oh, may all the glory, Lord, be thine. So bless each before thee, from the youngest, we beseech thee, to those elderly, so advanced in years. Remember each. Remember friends away, we pray. O Lord, and do grant thy blessing upon Zion this day, and the proclamation of thy word throughout the length and breadth of this land and in other lands. And grant, Lord, that thirst, we pray, for the living word. 'Tis thine to work. Oh, 'tis thy work that sinners might believe. We pray that thou wouldst work in our hearts. Oh, Lord, we have to come with those personal desires. Lord, in our hearts, and collectively we pray, in the hearts of the congregations, in the churches, in the hearts, Lord, even of this, a people in this land yet, which yet know thee not. Lord, we pray thy blessing, O gracious God, even in the last days that are upon us, that thou wouldst turn again in mercy unto this guilty realm, and yet raise up even those faithful ones to continue and strengthen those that remain. Lord, we would not multiply words. Pardon, Lord, our every sin. Accept our tribute of thanks for the multitude of thy mercies. Oh, grant that special aid which, Lord, we feel to need on this occasion. Lord, oh, what are we have to say, and as with the psalmist of old, and what is my father's house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Lord, thou hast, we pray, oh, that even this day thou wouldst not forsake us. We be brought not to confusion, but thy promises yet be fulfilled. Oh, so be with us. Grant unto us, Lord, oh, this little company, that we might join together in worship at the footstool of thy grace, we plead, for Jesus Christ's sake.
Amen. Hymn 117. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. Hymn 117.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord and the grace of dependence upon him, we venture to the word you will find in Hebrews from chapter 12. We read the third verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The apostle addresses the Hebrews, the chosen nation of God, those of his own kith and kin. And in speaking unto them, he evidences a gracious concern for their spiritual welfare, a desire that they may indeed grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We see, as it were, this aged saint of God bearing in his body those marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who had fought many a fight, been engaged in much conflict, and had suffered much on account of that which he proclaimed, truly believed in. A fatherly figure addressing the people out of love and affection for their never dying souls. He speaks as concerning those worthies that had gone before, those who had lived and died in faith, and proclaims as concerning those wondrous exploits which they entered into and were favored with, the secret being faith in their God. Now he addresses the people in this loving manner. Oh, see him again, a fatherly figure, one who had walked this path and knew well that 'twas a path of trial, temptation, of much conflict, and many there were that rose up against the truth even in his day. And how much more so in our present day. Now he saith, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin that doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience that lies set before us. He directs them unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it is from him. The dear man himself had received that support as he had walked this path as being called out of nature's darkness into that light of the gospel. It was and is looking unto Jesus. I felt sweetly confirmed last evening in seeing the text in the little room allotted to me, looking unto Jesus. He, the very author and finisher of our faith, he whom we trust commenced that work, and he whom we trust will complete it in his own time and way, looking unto Jesus. And so we come with this word before you, to bring before you on this Lord's Day morning. Consider here. How came I, you might ask, by the word? For, oh, it is an exercise, a burden to those that minister in holy things, that they be directed of the Lord in that word, that they shall seek help to speak from. Strange way, perhaps, you might say, throughout the week, but now past. Oh, much has been said. I would not enter into it. They are but temporal things. But the Lord led one, oh, to consider how low this nation hath fallen on account of those things purposed at the decease of one who was raised up to be in help even in this nation in years past. I say we enter not into it, but I so solemnly felt, oh, how little respect, how little consideration is given unto the feelings of those connected with the deceased. How low indeed man hath fallen, that they should take opportunity from such occasions to bring all manner of shame and confusion against such that have passed away. Now, I leave the thought, but as I sat down in my chair on Friday evening, I thought of another. Oh, I thought of this one here spoken of in the Word of God. Consider him. He who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. All else pales into utter insignificance when we consider, oh, the path that the Lord Jesus Christ walked, even from Bethlehem unto Gethsemane and Calvary. That path in which he was ridiculed, he was mocked, he was scorned, he was spat upon. That path which caused him often to suffer much, even bodily, and as at the hands of his fellow countrymen, he bore that which was indeed a disgrace as laid upon any man. Friends, as I read through this verse, as it was laid upon one spirit. Oh, I did feel what significance there is in this, as concerning Zion today, in all the distresses that abound, in all the afflictions that continue, in all that those temptations that cause in many an errand to the throne of God's grace. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Why so? Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I inquired in all one simplicity of the Lord as to how one might express the thought as to who this word is addressed unto, called upon to read a short portion last evening. I felt somewhat of that prompting of God's Spirit within to turn to that blessed chapter in the prophecy of Isaiah, containing, oh, precious cluster of precious promises unto the Israel of God, and to see there, oh, a people to whom the word of comfort was addressed. A small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. O thou, this particularly, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Here we have the people spoken of, whom I am persuaded the apostle addressed in his day, as he saw them tossed hither and thither under those trials and temptations that beset them in the path, afflicted, tossed with tempest, and seemingly unable to gain comfort from any source. And so the Lord brings his people down, weans them from that strength of the creature, bringeth them down into that dependence upon him. What said the prophet in another place? He was enjoined to cry, to proclaim the word. And he bringeth forth that question, and what shall I cry? What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, it soon withereth away and is gone, but the word of the Lord, that endureth forever. Oh, I trust, if we come aright in this morning, the word of God's grace is to be addressed to a people that are afflicted. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We read the Lord, he delivereth them out of them all. Many are those tossings, many are those trials. I think of the disciples upon the Sea of Gennesaret. Oh, it would appear the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep, that he hearkened not unto their cries. Tossed with tempest, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Unbelieving fears rise up. These people are addressed here. Perhaps some amongst us, the Lord alone knoweth. the particulars, he understandeth. Oh, this is the comfort of Zion. He knoweth our frame, and he doth remember that we are but dust. The word of God is a living word. It is not that which is dormant, but under the Spirit of God, under his blessing, power attending the truth, there is that, to be gleaned. Gleaned from the word, the written word, which is a strength and support unto Zion in every generation. So the people addressed are these afflicted souls, tossed with tempest, like a rail, refusing to be comforted, weeping for her children because they were not. These are they. The Lord who hath declared in that blessed chapter as concerning his purpose of grace yet concealed, and yet that which was to be revealed in his own time and way. Meanwhile, wait upon the Lord. Wait patiently. You've heard of the patience of Job. The end of the Lord in these things. What was it? He is indeed very pitiful and of tender mercy. Who are they who appreciate such visits from the Lord? Those tokens of his grace. I venture to say, tis not they that are satisfied with the letter of the word. Tis not they that are sufficient unto themselves. Tis not those mighty ones in their own strength that go forth managing their own affairs. But it is rather, these afflicted souls. These burdened souls. Friend, what is it the burden say? Is it thy sins? Or is it the circumstances that surround thee? The providences of God? And do questions arise as to the purpose of these things? And what indeed might be the cause of them? Much questioning of soul, much searching of heart before the Lord. Afflicted in these things, burdened, a trouble of soul, a little measure of that known and experienced, in which the Lord Jesus Christ entered in such depths. Now is my soul troubled, exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. These are they who relish, yea, rejoice in that word of the Lord. Now, what is the encouragement here given? What is the exhortation? Ye see these witnesses that have gone before, these worthies of whom the apostle here relates. May we not add to them those whom we remember, whose records are written, those that we knew in our early days. These worthies who have now entered into glory, have come through that path of tribulation, have entered now into the presence of their Lord. Wherefore, he saith, seeing we are compassed about, surrounded so with these witnesses, let us. Friends, if the exhortation was necessary, In those days, those early days of the Church of Christ, after his ascension into glory, oh, how needful now, in these last days, amongst the churches of the living God. How is it often our heart faileth us for fear for that which is coming upon us? I had fainted, said the psalmist, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We are exhorted, and there lies the strength of the Israel of God, not in the mere letter of the word, but in the application of the truth, as not so as in possession altogether of the blessing, but with that expectation from the Lord. So said the psalmist, mine expectation is from God. Now this apostle here bids this people, consider him. Consider him. Reviled in his life, reviled at his death, reviled by multitudes of sins, and he who went about and did such good, consider him. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, that in glory, consider him. Oh, if nothing more, may we leave the house of God this morning with this exhortation ringing, as it were, not only in our ears, but in our heart. Oh, think upon him. Consider him. Consider him. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Art thou wearied? Art thou cast down? Oh, is it with thee? Feel much weariness in the way. I say, oh, does this word reach your heart, burdened with your sins, burdened with your cares? Maybe personal, maybe family, maybe collective as it concerns the Church of God, maybe it's concerning our church, our country. Oh, whatever it is, compassed in these words, fainted, wearied, burdened. Dear Jacob was left alone, yet not alone. He'd sought to do this or that, right or as it may be or no. The Lord brought him to that place where he wrestled with his God, secret prayer, closet prayer. Oh, it is not that which is wrought upon the street corners. It is not that which is done seeking the approbation of man. Oh, it is that which is wrought out in secret, twixt thee and thy God. What doest thou here, Elijah? Brought to that strait. And Jacob, a time of Jacob's trouble, in every quarter. Burdened greatly, fearful, greatly afraid. We have the word of God's grace before us. All these things, times, perhaps nigh overcome thee. They threaten your destruction. And there are those temptations which come so close. They find, as it were, that tender spot. Oh, it is thee, and Satan knoweth just where to lay his arrows. God permits it so from time to time. He wounds. Friends, there's only one healing. Oh, consider him. Think on him. Meditate. Oh, meditate. Oh, consider his pathway. What does one say? His way was much rougher and darker than mine. And did Christ, my Lord, suffer? And shall I repine? The apostle, he himself said, but it is in his epistle to the Corinthians, I am with you in much weakness, with fear and with trembling. Oh, it is the path of those that fear God. In weakness, and some of us have to fear. Oh, it's sinful weakness and sinful ignorance. Perhaps you understand me. We know better in ourselves. And still, oh, still we fall foul to those temptations of the adversary. Friend, what resource have we in this weakness? In this weariness, in this fainting, consider him. Consider him. At his birth, they sought to destroy him. They spake against him. The Jews themselves would not accept him. They saw no beauty in him, but a favored few. Oh, a little number. And still the Lord has such. Even those few, that little remnant that remain. Oh, then here, as it were, the words of this fatherly character, as he addresses the Israel of God, one who had suffered much for the cause of truth. Oh, I say, hearken by the Spirit of God unto his encouraging words, as he realizes Zion today is in that distressing place. Consider him. Oh, the depths of Christ's sufferings, yea, in the early days, and especially so as he came to Gethsemane and Calvary. They reviled him. They scorned him. Yea, oh, they sought his life, even, and he had to flee with his Mary, and Joseph went with him even into Egypt. Friends, we find it so, although we read little of those formative years in Nazareth. But Nazareth, a Nazarene, the very city held in contempt, a place of much wickedness. And there, oh, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Friends, are you so tempted? Can any good thing come out of this wretched heart of yours? Can any good thing? Consider him. Oh, think of him. There in those formative years with Mary his mother and Joseph, there he grew. A boy, a man. Oh, consider him. I say little we realize, little we read, little is brought to our notice of those years. But this we know, oh, it was a time in which he obeyed in every jot and tittle that holy law of God. In that preparation he learned obedience, we read. Oh, consider him. The things that he suffered. May we not take up the word in it relevant to this portion of scripture. Consider him. He learned obedience. How? By the things that he suffered. Though he were a son, the eternal son of the eternal father, verily God, verily man. Oh, we would preach Jesus, proclaim of the bounties of his grace. He left those realms above. He came to be a man and die. He condescended. He stooped. Yea, humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death, the very death of the cross, the shame, oh, the shame that attended the birth. Obedient unto, consider him. Friends, I feel to speak, as it were, to those that are torn aside, as it were, at times, through trial and temptation, or burdened with afflictions. And there's many a cry that goeth forth from their heart. Oh, the bitter things, the bitter waters of Marah. They've come there. They cannot drink. So, not so long since did those Israelites rejoice in their deliverance from the Egyptians. Those Egyptians following those Israelites. They were drowned in the Red Sea. And Israel rejoiced and sang the song of praise. But a few days in the wilderness, and they come to Marah. It's bitter. It's bitter. They cannot drink. And they begin to murmur. Oh, what's the remedy for that murmuring? Consider him. Oh, think of him. The bitterness of his path. But see the cross. Behold the tree. Oh, see that provision. We sometimes said, I would express it again, oh, Satan always o'ersteps himself. And there's that brought out of these troubles, which is for the sinners good and profit. Behold it, oh, in those wondrous ways as concerning Gethsemane and Calvary. But oh, let us return. Marah, bitter waters. Are you walking there today? Bitter waters. You cannot, oh, you cannot take off them. And what shall I do? How shall I proceed? Thirst, oh, thirst. Natural thirst. Oh, it is, we understand, oh, a terrible experience. And they of old, as they walked through the wilderness, through the desert, a paucity of water, oh, little provision there. They prized those places where they could find no, those places of water. The Elims, the friends often, oh, there's a Marah first. A bitter place. Why so? That they might the more relish and rejoice in those resting places, those sweet touches, those sweet seasons. Oh, but a little here, a little there. I think of the eunuch. He'd been up to Jerusalem, had he not? He left somewhat disappointed. But he was in the way, he was reading the word of God. Consider him. Consider him. Of whom speaketh the prophet thus? Himself or some other man? And Philip began at that very scripture and preached unto him, Jesus. Jesus. Amongst all the supposed religions of the world, great multitudes, such there are. There's but one true and living God. And we, oh, we would, as that grace is given, proclaim of the Lord Jesus Christ, once crucified at Calvary, now risen at the Father's right hand in glory, he who intercedes. Oh, consider him. The path he trod so that he might save his people from their sins. Consider him. See him thus in those early days. Behold, oh, behold him as he commenced his ministry, that short ministry, and especially around the shores of Galilee. There we read concerning Capernaum, do we not? His city. And yet, oh, yet, the people despised him at large. They set him at naught. They considered him of no account. They poured shame upon him, even one of their number. They accepted him not. Blind eyes, deaf ears, unfeeling hearts. They saw in him no beauty. Oh, consider him. We have this exhortation. A relative today as in those days. Consider him. Art thou deserted? Feeling so? Art thou forsaken? So was he. So was he. They all forsook him and fled. The disciples, they that had been with him, yea, called to follow him, and willingly they had left all and followed him. In that time of his sufferings, they forsook him. Painful. Oh, consider a little. We cannot but only a little comprehend. A man he was, a man he is, a real man. And that with wounds still gaping wide, he feels for each tempted member's pains, for our afflictions his. He was forsaken. They all forsook him, we read, and fled. How much this affected, I speak in all simplicity. I trust with all profound reverence that holy soul, that feeling soul. He wept over Jerusalem. Now those so near unto him, Peter had denied him. And now even John, who had leant upon his breast, they all forsook him and fled. And could ye not watch with me 1 hour, said he, even to those 3 favoured few in Gethsemane's garden. Oh, consider him, the travail of his soul, the depths of his sufferings, the burden that he carried as imputed unto him was that intolerable load of sin, of sins of his people. He sank so low, oh, in that garden of Gethsemane. What must it have been unto his holy soul to have endured those hidings of his heavenly Father's face? Consider him. Consider him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if it be possible, let this cup pass from me.
this cup, perhaps your cup. Oh, that which is appointed. And that, oh, that path must be walked in. You tremble, you fear. Oh, you are in perplexity. We read concerning the transfiguration. Those disciples, as they feared as they entered into the cloud. But what blessing attended them? What blessing yet was to be theirs? They greatly feared. How do we illustrate it? Perhaps you've at one time or another have ascended up the side of a mountain. You commenced, oh, it's been thoroughly covered over with cloud. But as you've been taken up, so you come out into bright sunshine. I've often thought of it. Oh, simplicity of these things of nature. And yet what, oh, what instruction is contained in it. Above those clouds. Above those clouds. There is that to be seen. In the shining of the sun. Consider him. Oh, they entered, they feared as they entered into the cloud. But the Lord had that intent of purpose. Pitiful, of tender mercy. Oh, such compassion. Compassion beyond comparison. He knoweth our flame. In those darkest moments, in those most lonely spots, where the soul truly weeps before the Lord, burdened with their sins. Oh, he comes quickly. Comes quickly. Enters into the soul. Oh, consider him. Consider him. He knoweth. He feeleth. Friend, have you such an high priest? One chosen of God. Taken from amongst men. Three requisites. Chosen of God. Taken from amongst men and able to sympathize with those for whom he would intercede. Friends, such an one we have in Jesus. A tender high priest. Oh, so touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Consider him. Oh, we speak as it were but little. What can we say? Oh, the sorrows that he bore. And what more can he do? What more could he do? He wept, he bled, he died for thee. What more, ye saints, could Jesus do? Beloved. Oh, the word comes. Think it not strange. Concerning the fiery trial. Which is to try you, as if some strange thing hath happened unto you. But rejoice, rejoice. And we battle with unbelief, do we not? Oh, it is a besetting sin, as the dear apostle here expresses it. A besetting sin, the sin that doth so easily beset us. I say we battle with it. Often we feel to come out overcome. But look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. When there is that fall, that one is not utterly cast down. He lifteth up. He lifteth up. And once again. Oh, once again. They taste of the loving kindness of Israel's God. Oh, consider him. The great depth of his sorrow. He went to the end of the law for righteousness. He entered into those very pangs of hell. I read it as expressed. Oh, he bore even that thirst which must have been the lot of all the elect of God in that place of perdition, even hell forevermore. He, when he cried, I thirst, he thirsted. Yes, he bore that which was to be their lot had he not intervened. Yea, he interposed, we read. He interposed his most precious blood. Consider him that endured. He passed through. He bore that which was needful. He came all conqueror over sin, death, and hell. Consider him. Here's the remedy for unbelief. Here's the encouragement for those that are cast down. Oh, here's the way the Lord hath appointed these shall come, considering him, looking unto Jesus. Not only he who commenced that work of grace, but he who finisheth it. And how did you commence? As a poor, needy sinner, with nothing in your hand, a wretched, helpless, guilty soul, on thy kind arms I fall. Friends, you continue so. Oh, is not this the path? Is not this the path the Lord hath appointed for his people? Consider him. Consider him. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, even those from the very perimeters of the camp, those outcasts of Israel, is such an one here. Outcast. Not like unto one of thine handmaids. How often it is the feeling of our soul. Not like unto one of thine handmaids. Marks of grace I cannot see. All polluted is my breast. Not like unto one of thine. But the Lord hath compassion upon the ignorant and them and those that are out of the way. Consider him, the vilest sinner, out of hell. Free sovereign grace. Oh, it is the sacred privilege of the ministers of the gospel to proclaim of the wonders of salvation. The vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace. The Saviour's blood to plead. Consider him. May the Lord forgive the broken ramblings, and may it be for his own honour and glory.
Collections last Lord's Day were £695, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Sayers will preach on Wednesday evening, and the service will be in the chapel, and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And next Lord's Day, God willing, we shall hold a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. Let us close with hymn number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. Hymn 23.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.